Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for your words. Your words that offer comfort and hope, joy and laughter. And we pray that we may hear the truth that you have for each of us in it. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. A pastor was called to the local nursing home to perform a wedding. An anxious old man met him at the door, and the pastor sat down to counsel the old man, and he asked several questions. "Do you love her?" And the old man said, "Nope." "Is she a good Christian woman?" "I don't know for sure," the old man replied. "Does she have lots of money?" asked the pastor. "I doubt it." "Then why are you marrying her?" the preacher asked. "Because she can drive at night," the old man said. Humor is fun. It's also a blessing because it helps us to laugh at the human condition. It keeps us from taking ourselves and our lives too seriously, as the story suggests. Enables us to get through rough times in life. However, we have to admit there are different kinds of humor. And some of it is not life-affirming. Christian essayist Don Plendinen, in a blog about our Genesis passage today, shares the following thoughts. At a strategic meeting of our church leaders, June asked an awkward but important question that caught some people off guard. The result was predictable. Nervous laughter. Even though there was nothing remotely funny about the matter she raised. Laughter, in fact, has many voices that reveal different things about us. Derision and scorn can explode into sarcastic laughter that intends to humiliate. The giggles of children, entirely unconscious, hearten us with their unfettered joy. Poking fun at our human foibles and frailties and occasional faux pas is almost always healthy. As for jokes, our family likes to say that we laugh three times. When we hear the joke, when it's explained to us, and when we finally understand it. In our Genesis passage today, we encounter another kind of laughter. The laughter of Sarah behind the tent door. And the laughter of Abraham in the chapter immediately preceding this, chapter 17, verses 15 to 17, where we hear, God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but you shall call Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" This is dismissive laughter because the promise seems too incredulous. Kind of like, "Yeah, right," type of laughter. It would seem that Abraham and Sarah are laughing at God. Can God give a man north of 100 and a woman north of 90 years a baby? Would you not laugh at that? Now, I want to say at this point that I don't believe that God is upset with their laughing. In fact, I think God would have laughed with them. Can't you just hear God saying to him, "Yeah, it is pretty incredible, isn't it? And I can't wait to see your faces when I make it happen." Frederick Buechner writes, "Quantitatively speaking, you don't find all that much about laughter or all that much laughter in the Bible. But qualitatively, there's nothing quite like it to be found anywhere else. the 126th Psalm, it begins, when the Lord restores, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. And then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Laughter is seen as a blessing or a sign of blessing by the psalmist. Abraham and Sarah, in the end, saw the blessing in their laughter because they named their son, who had been promised by God, Isaac, which in Hebrew means laughter. Is it not a blessing when we can find humor and laughter in the midst of difficult times? In the anatomy of an illness, as perceived by the patients, Norman Cousin tells of being hospitalized with a rare crippling disease, and when he, which was diagnosed as incurable. And Cousin's checked out of the hospital. Aware of the harmful effects that negative emotions can have, Cousins reasoned that the reverse was also true. So he borrowed a movie projector and prescribed his own treatment consisting of Marx Brothers films and old candid camera reruns. It didn't take long for him to discover that 10 minutes of laughter provided 2 hours of pain-free sleep. Amazingly, his debilitating disease was eventually reversed. And after the account of his victory appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine, Cousins received more than 3,000 letters from appreciative physicians throughout the world. Laughter's healing. It's a blessing. It's healing. Scientists have researched laughter, and people who laugh and found that laughing creates chemical changes in the human being, in the human body, that are beneficial to the human body. And laughter is a wonderful mental exercise. I think of it as exercising the brain. And laughter and humor are also wonderful spiritual exercises as well. Think about it. If we cannot take ourselves too seriously, and if we laugh at our foibles, are we not confessing and receiving forgiveness at the same time? If we look at Abraham and Sarah, who laughed at God out of their pain and disbelief in the promises given to them, we discover, as Clendenin writes, Sarah's disbelief, doubt, laughter, lies, and denial convey not only an appropriate rebuke to our own tendency to do likewise, and a reminder of God's mighty power to act out in the most hopeless of circumstances, Sarah also communicates a sense of consolation. We normally think of Abraham and Sarah as paragons of faith and virtue, and with good reason, given how the New Testament remembers them as heroes. But Sarah demonstrates how God's drama of salvation is not a story of stellar saints so far removed from our own experiences that we could never hope to emulate them, but of down and dirty sinners, messy characters portrayed with their own faults and failures. The blessing of laughter is the realization that as messy as our lives may be, God can and still does use us. Still blesses us. Still loves us. In our disbelief, God still calls us. And that is just so incredulous that we should want to break out in laughter. Really, God? You want to use me? Great! Country singer Barbara Mandrell once said that when her son Nathan was born, she always sang 3 songs to him. Jesus loves me. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day This is the day that the Lord has made. That. And Jesus loved the little children. Jesus loved the little children. All the children of the world. And she said, I wondered which of these would be the first song that Nathan would remember and sing on his own. It was none of these, she said. First song Nathan sang was All My Exes Live in Texas. God takes this messiness and this stuff of our human condition and still uses us. Even when we cry, God still uses us and loves us in the shaping of the kingdom. And if that doesn't cause us to break out into joyful laughter, a laughter that could slide into joyful tears, then I don't know what will. I saw a statistic. Children laugh on average 150 times a day. This is not one of those times for Alice, but that's okay. Adults laugh on an average of 15, 17 times a day. 150, 15 to 17. Maybe, just maybe, that's why we find it so hard, because we, life so hard, because we see no humor in it. We're not laughing nearly enough, folks. Maybe we don't believe that God can do anything incredulous. Incredulous enough that every day that would cause us to laugh. Maybe we take life a little too seriously. Or maybe we're just not seeing what God's doing in the world. I had kind of a chuckle of joy when I heard that Quakers were walking with Muslim children to school after 9/11 to protect them. Hate wasn't going to win. They were laughing in the face of hate. I laugh when I go to the food bank to work because lots of people are giving up some of their day off to sort through food that has been donated by many grocery stores and individuals to feed hungry people. It's not a laughter of absurdity, but a laughter of joy at the incredulous faith that believes that hungry people can be fed this way. I laugh with joy when I read a Facebook page where a gay person has received support from hearing the stories of others coming out and the support that they receive. And so because of that, they come out to the people that they've been afraid to come out to. And they give thanks for the support they've received on this website. There are wonderful things happening all around us that should cause an infectious joy to well up within us in the midst of the despair of the world. The laughter reminds us that in the end, as that bad as things might be, in the end, love wins. Love wins. Even though mom and dad are over 90 and 100, a child is born and is named Laughter. And that is something to laugh about. Amen.